And we're going to take our Bibles this evening, and I want us to turn to Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2. Of course, we know the Christmas story is in Matthew, and then it's also found in the book of Luke. But I want to take one of the characters, or I guess we'll say it this way, really a group of characters in the Christmas story, and I want to give you some thoughts tonight from the Christmas story there and one of the characters in the Christmas story tonight. And we had an opportunity in Sunday school this morning to touch on a few of the characters in the Christmas story. We talked a little bit about Zechariah and Elizabeth and some of the challenges that they went through, but how that God helped them to overcome and to be able to really perform miracles in the lives of Zechariah and Elizabeth. Then we dealt a little bit with Mary. Then we talked a little bit about Joseph. Tonight, I want to specifically give you some thoughts tonight from the story in Luke chapter number 2 of the shepherds. And so we want to look at the shepherds for a few minutes tonight here from Luke chapter number 2. And what I wanted you to notice was this tonight. I want you to see some pictures that I think we can see from the lives of the shepherds tonight that can be applications for us tonight. So we're going to give you some pictures tonight from the lives of these shepherds that'll be applications for us if we're willing to put them into practice in our lives. And so let's really concentrate on this passage here in Luke chapter number 2. Let's see what the Lord has for us tonight, and let's make decisions accordingly. Let's put into practice things that we hear tonight. So let's look at Luke chapter 2, and I want us to start in verse number 8. There's something I think right from the very beginning. I'm going to take the time to read the passage of Scripture where we talk about the shepherds for a little bit. And then I want to go back and help us to see those pictures. But from the very beginning in verse number 8, there's something I want you to notice that certainly I think is a truth or an application for us as Christians right from the very beginning. Look at Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 2. Look down if you would at verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now we understand from verse 1 through verse number 7, God lays out for us the Christmas story, the exact way and order in which God had it all happen, that taxing that took place, and how that Mary and Joseph, and of course Mary with child, traveled to Bethlehem for that taxing that was taking place. God in His, again, perfect will and His perfect plan. And then, of course, that Jesus was to be born in the city of Bethlehem. So they travel to Bethlehem. Of course, she is great with child. Then she brings forth her son. The Bible says she wraps him in swaddling clothes, lays him in a manger. And then we get to the shepherds here. And the Bible says in that same country. So nearby there, shepherds were abiding in the field. Now here's the point that I wanted to get across to you right from the very beginning. Before we even get to these pictures that help us to understand some truths from the lives of these shepherds, look at the end of verse number 8, if you would. Let's draw out a wonderful application here. Verse number 8, it says this, keeping watch over their flock by night. So the word there that I really want you to concentrate on is the word watch. They're keeping watch over their flock. That means they're watching. They're alert to what's going on as far as their duties are concerned. You know, the Bible tells us we're to be watching, doesn't it? We're to be watching, and we're to make sure we're alert as far as the duties are concerned, what God would have for us to do. As a matter of fact, the Bible even says that about our enemy. We're to be sober, we're to be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, is walking about, and he's seeking whom he may devour. We need to be alert, don't we? And so these shepherds weren't sleeping. They weren't just taking it easy. The Bible says they were keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, can I say this? That means they were ready to do the job that they had as shepherds. They, again, watching, prepared, ready to do that. Now, God, of course, if we want to hear Him and we want to be ready, as He desires to speak to us and desires to use us, we have to be ready, we have to be watching, we have to be alert to what God is doing in our lives. And so let's make sure that if we desire to hear from God, that we are ready. We're watching. We're alert to that. We're doing our duty, right? The duty that God has given us to do. But then let's read on. It says in verse number 9, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. Now that's unique two words there, because we saw it this morning in the life of Zechariah and Elizabeth. The angel said, fear not. Then we saw it in the story of Mary. The angel says to Mary, fear not. Then we saw it in the life of Joseph when the angel said, fear not. Now he says it again to the shepherds. He says, fear not. Now watch this, verse number 10. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Now we're going to come back to verse number 10 in just a little bit, so really be mindful of what verse number 10 says, of those good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Not just some people, all people, right? We talked about that this morning, didn't we? That the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ really is for all people, isn't it? What He did for us, it's for everyone, isn't it? It's for the whosoever, right? Verse number 11, he says this, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. So that is the message that is delivered. Then look at verse number 12, and this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now, we understand that Jesus could have come in power and great glory. He could have had the type of birth that would have been normal for a king to have. He could have, again, come in power and glory. But He comes in humility, doesn't He? And the Bible says He comes and He's wrapped in swaddling clothes. He is lying in a manger. Now this draws my mind to a verse that we read in the book of Hebrews, an application for us tonight. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, for we have not a high priest who is not touched with the feelings of our infirmities. The Bible says, but it was on all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Isn't it wonderful that He understands the things that we go through? Again, could have come to earth in power and great glory, but He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities, meaning He understands the weaknesses that we go through. He understands the challenges that we face. And one of the ways that we can understand that to be true of Jesus was the way He was born in swaddling clothes and then laying in a manger. Now look with me, if you would, at verse number 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven. Now this is where we're really going to pick up with some truths that we're going to see in the lives of the shepherds. The shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Notice the last verse in our text that we'll read tonight, verse number 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Now tonight, I want to give us some pictures that I think we see in the lives of the shepherds that are very applicable for us here tonight, especially as God's people tonight, some applications that we want to make tonight, and just rejoicing in these things tonight. The first thing I want you to notice that the shepherds give us a good picture of, number one, they give us a good picture of salvation. A good picture of salvation. The Bible tells us they came to where Jesus was. Look with me, if you would, at verse number 16. The Bible says, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, I'll say this, and it's certainly our desire for somebody that does not know Christ as Savior. If individuals do not know Christ as Savior, what would we tell them? We would say, it's important for you to come to the Savior, right? It's important for you to come to know Him. And by the way, it's important for you to come with haste, right? To come while you have opportunity, while the Lord gives you an opportunity, while He's speaking to your heart. Come to the Savior with haste. And I'll say this, when you come to Jesus, you will find Him, won't you? Isn't it wonderful to know that when we come to Jesus, we will find Him? That's exactly what the shepherds did. They give us a wonderful picture of salvation. They came to Jesus. They found Jesus. Just like when you came to know Jesus as your Savior, you came to Jesus. And by the way, you found Him. It's not as if He's hiding from us, not as if He doesn't want to receive us. He's not willing that any should perish, right? but that all should come to repentance. And so number one, they give us a wonderful picture of salvation. They came, and they came with haste. And when they came, the Bible says they found Jesus whom they were looking for. Now let's look at a couple Bible verses here real quick. Keep your place there in Luke chapter number 2. And let's think of this thought of the shepherds coming to Jesus. Look at John chapter 6, if you would. John chapter 6. Boy, I love this verse here in John chapter number 6. Would you look at it with me? John chapter 6. Hold your place there in Luke chapter 2. Look at John chapter 6 and go down, if you would, at verse number 37. So John chapter 6 and verse number 37. Let's think of some verses in the Bible that deal with coming to Jesus. And knowing that when you come to Him, you're going to find Him. Look at what the Bible says in John 6, verse 37. It says this, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." So all that the Father giveth, He says, shall come to me. Now watch this. "And him that cometh to me." Now notice the great promise at the end of this verse. "I will in no wise cast out." Aren't you thankful tonight to know that if you come to Jesus, you will find Him. He will in no wise cast out anyone that comes to Him. Then look with me, if you would, at Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. And let's look down, if you would, at verse number 6. I think you'll find this to be a familiar verse. By the way, if this is a verse that you've never memorized, this is a good one right here to commit to memory. Hebrews chapter 11. And let's look at verse number 6. And let's look at what it talks about when it says coming to Jesus. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him." Now, in order to know for sure we're on our way to heaven, we had to put faith in the Lord, didn't we? "For by grace are you saved through faith." You had to trust in something that you didn't even have the ability to see. Which, by the way, that's what Hebrews chapter 11 talks about, right? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I'm trusting in something I don't even see. I'm trusting in the death of Jesus, and I wasn't there when He died, but I'm putting my faith in Him, right? It is impossible to please God without faith. Now notice what the rest of the verse says. "For he that cometh to God..." Oh, remember what the shepherds did. They came, and they came with haste, right? "For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Now, you're coming to Christ because you're seeking Him, right? And so He says, "He that cometh to God must believe that He is." So we're coming, and we're coming by faith, aren't we? And remember what it said in John chapter 6, verse 37, "He will in no wise cast you out if you come to Him." Then look with me, if you would, at the book of Matthew. Look at Matthew chapter 11, if you would. Matthew chapter 11. And once you found Matthew chapter 11, if you would go down to verse number 28, Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28, I'd say this is probably a familiar verse to many tonight as well. Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 28. It says this, "Come unto me." Come unto me. This morning, when we were getting ready, and my girls might not even remember this, but this morning when we were getting ready, we were downstairs kind of preparing everything we needed to prepare for breakfast and getting ready to come here so that we could get on the bus this morning. And my mind and my heart was thinking about this message that I was going to preach tonight. And I knew I was going to get to this verse tonight in Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28. So right there in the kitchen, I started singing that hymn, "Come Unto Me." You ever heard that one? "Come unto me, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Hear me and be blessed." What does God say? He says, "Come unto me." Man, look what He says will happen. If you come unto Him, verse number 28. "All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." He says, "For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Oh, it's not difficult to serve Jesus. It's something that's not grievous, the Bible says in the book of John. Oh, it's an easy thing to just come to Him, and you'll find Him, and He will give you rest. And then there's another verse that we find in the New Testament of our Bible as well. And listen to the words of this. The great promise, "Whosoever will may come." Whosoever will may come. What did the shepherds do? The shepherds, the Bible says, came with haste. And when they came with haste, they found Jesus. When you come to him, you will find him. He will in no wise cast you out. But then, I want you to consider this tonight, when we think of the picture of salvation here, coming to Jesus, coming to him for forgiveness of sins, coming to him for justification, coming to him for your hope of heaven and your hope of eternal life. But consider this, there are some stories in the Bible that help us to understand that even when individuals could not get to Jesus, he was still able to give them help. So you say, well, what about stories in the Bible where individuals weren't able to come to where Jesus was? He was still able to meet their needs. I think in my mind of the story in John chapter number 5. The Bible tells us in John chapter number 5 about a man who is laying by the pool of Bethesda. You remember that story in John chapter number 5? He's laying there by the pool of Bethesda, and he's been in that situation, the Bible says, for 38 years. He's been in that situation. And the Bible says that Jesus, Jesus comes to where that man is, and he begins to describe what's happening there at that pool. He says, well, there's every season there's an angel that comes down and he troubles the water, and the first one that gets in is healed of whatsoever disease that he has. But he says, the problem is I have no man. I have nobody to help me, he says. And he says, so because I can't get in, he says, another one beats me down there into the water, and I can't get the healing that I need. Well, what does the Bible say to that? The Bible says that Jesus says to that man, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. So even when this man couldn't get to Jesus, Jesus was still able to deliver him, wasn't he? And then think with me, if you would, to the story of Zacchaeus, that man of little stature, right? And he wasn't able to get to Jesus, and this was for a totally different reason now, because of the crowd that was pressing around him. So what does he do? He sees that sycamore tree, doesn't he? And he goes to where that sycamore tree, and he climbs up into that sycamore tree, and Jesus goes right to where he is, right? Jesus comes where he's at. And he says, I want to meet you at your house today. And salvation is brought to his house. Isn't that wonderful? Then we get to the book of Acts. In Acts chapter number 3. We're studying through the book of Acts. And by the way, we're going to resume that at the start of 2023, studying through the book of Acts on our Sunday evening messages as the Lord continues that thought in my heart, and we'll continue that sermon series. But we went past Acts chapter 3 already, didn't we? You remember the story of that lame man that's sitting there by the gate beautiful. And of course, they're entering in to the temple there. And he's holding out his hands and he's asking for alms, isn't he? He couldn't get any help on his own. Matter of fact, there was individuals that even had to carry him down there. It was almost as if he just couldn't get the help that he needed. And Peter and John there, as they're on their way into the temple, they said, silver and gold have I none, right? But such as I have thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And so even at times in the Bible when individuals could not even get to where Jesus was, he found a way to still deliver. He found a way to still get to where they were so that he could give them the deliverance and the forgiveness and the help that they needed. So the shepherds, a wonderful picture of salvation. They came with haste. But let's notice another picture with me, if you would. Look at verse number 15. The second picture that I want you to notice about the shepherds here in the Christmas story. Verse number 15, it says this. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. You say, well, what is so important about verse number 15? What kind of picture can we see from verse number 15 that is an application for our lives? Number two, I want you to notice a picture of surrender. A picture of surrender. So in verse number 16, we saw the picture of salvation. They came with haste to get to where Jesus was, just like we came to Jesus to come and trust Him as our Savior. And we came with haste when He spoke to our hearts. But then number two, I want us to notice the picture of surrender. Now, how did these shepherds surrender? Now, think about the job that they had. They were out in the field, and the Bible tells us in verse number 8 again, they were abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. That was their occupation, right? That was their job. That was what their duty was to do, to watch their sheep, watch over their sheep. As a matter of fact, in the Bible, we know how much a shepherd loves and cares for his sheep by the story that Jesus gives us in Luke chapter number 15 of the lost sheep. You remember that story? And so we got the story of the lost sheep where the shepherd has 99 that are in the flock. They're safe in the flock, but he's lost one. He cares for his sheep so much that the Bible tells us he leaves the 99 in the safety of the flock there, the safety of the fold, and he goes out to try to search for the one sheep that is lost. So here's where I believe tonight we see a wonderful picture of surrender. They separated themselves from what was most important to them to come to where Jesus was. Think about how important that job was to them, to make sure their sheep were taken care of, to make sure they were providing for all their needs, to make sure that no wild animal would come by and to do harm to those sheep. But the Bible says that as they're in that field, when the angels were gone away, the Bible says they say unto each other, hey, let us go now even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. They separated themselves from that which was most important, from that which was their duty to do, so they could come to where Jesus was. Now let me ask you by way of application tonight. When God calls, are you willing to give up whatever might be most important to you to come to where He is and do what He calls you to do? Are you willing to make that step of surrender in your life where you say, Lord, I take my hands off of it, and whatever it is that you call me to do, I'm willing to leave even that which might seem most important to me, to be able to go and do what you call me to do. Man, I think about some of our missionaries who've left their families, who've left their homes. They've left family members that are certainly very important to them. They've left places of comfort here in the United States of America because they were surrendered, right? They were willing to leave that which was most important to them, that which might have been their job or that which might have been where they would say was their source of comfort, the comfort zone, so to say. And they left all of that to surrender and to go and do what God had for them to do. Now, it goes back really to what we've been talking about on Wednesday night. What is the story we've been dealing with on Wednesday night? We've been going through the book of Ruth, haven't we, for the last couple of Wednesday nights. Remember what we said about Ruth? Ruth was willing to surrender, wasn't she? She gave up her country. She gave up her people, her home where she lived, everything to go follow Naomi to Bethlehem. Remember, I even said a statement on Wednesday night. I said, sadly, there are some Christians, and I hope it wouldn't be true of us tonight, but there are some Christians that they've made a decision. I won't even go to the state next door if that's where God calls me. They're unwilling to move no matter what, no matter how God speaks. But may we be willing to just surrender and say, Lord, whatever it is that you have for me to do, I'm willing to leave perhaps the comforts, perhaps that which has become very important to me, to go to where Jesus is and do what He'd have for me to do. Now, I think of some illustrations here. I think of Moses. Think of Moses when the Bible tells us that he stands before God there speaking at that burning bush. Take off your shoes, for the place that you're standing is holy ground. Moses has a message delivered to him. He says, I want you to go to Egypt. Now remember, for the second 40 years of Moses' life, he's taking care of sheep on the backside of the desert there in Midian, isn't he? He's watching over the sheep of his father-in-law. And that's the task that had been very important to him. But God says, I want you to leave where you're at. I want you to go to Egypt, and I want you to deliver my people out of the bondage and captivity of Pharaoh there. I want you to do the task that I give you to do. I think about Abraham. In Genesis chapter number 12, where he's supposed to go and leave his country and his kindred and his father's house and to go to the land that God is going to show him. I think of David. Man, we just went through the life of David in the Good News Club. We were studying through the life of David. And remember, Saul had been rejected from being king, hadn't he? And when Saul had been rejected from being king because of moments of disobedience, Saul had been rejected from being king. And remember, God says, I'm looking for a man after mine own heart. And He says, I'm going to anoint that son of Jesse to be the next king of the nation of Israel. So in 1 Samuel chapter 16, what takes place? Samuel goes to offer a sacrifice there at Jesse's with Jesse's sons. And remember, Jesse's sons are all there or almost all there, right? There's one that's taking care of his duty, isn't he? He's out taking care of the sheep as he's been told to do. He's obedient, right? And he's humble enough to do that. And the Bible tells us that Samuel begins to go through those sons of Jesse. And at first he thinks, this is the one. This is the one that God's going to anoint to be king. But remember that very familiar verse there in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse number 7. Man seeth on the outward appearance, but God, he sees on the heart, doesn't he? So he gets to the end of that line of Jesse's sons and he says, are there any there that are left? Oh yes, well there's the younger one. He's out taking care of the sheep. Well, bring him here. And that's when David is anointed to be king. He had to leave what he was doing, by the way, in obedience, to leave what he was doing to then become king over the nation of Israel. And God was going to use him in a great and a mighty way as he was surrendered to the Lord. So we see, number one, in the lives of the shepherds, a picture of salvation. Then we see a picture of surrender. Oh, but this is a wonderful one. Number three, I want us to notice in the passage of Scripture here with the shepherds, I want us to notice a picture of soul winning. A picture of soul winning. We've got a picture of salvation. We've got a picture of surrender. Would you notice with me a picture of soul winning? Oh, what an application for us here. Look at verse number 15, if you would. Verse number 15 in Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Now let's stress the last part of this verse. The Lord has made known unto us. Now, was the gospel made known unto you? Sure it was, right? We were able to receive the Lord as our Savior. The gospel was made known unto us. Now, we know it, and now it is our duty to share it, isn't it? What does the Bible say in the Great Commission that we see in Matthew, and then Mark, and then Luke, and then John, and then Acts? We see it in all four of the gospels, in the book of Acts as well. We're to go. And we're to share the good news to others, then to see people baptized, to see people discipled and growing in the Lord. That's the great commission that God gives to, by the way, every Christian. Not just the full-time Christian worker, not just the pastor, not just the evangelist, not just the missionary. He gives it to all of us, doesn't he? We know the gospel. Now we're to share it with somebody else. So, thought number one is they know the gospel. But then let's go on, look at verse number 17. And when they had seen it, so now the Bible tells us they heard the news. Then they get to see it for their own selves. Now would you picture this as really being an idea or reminder of our salvation? We heard the good news, and then when we received it, we got to experience it for our own selves, didn't we? We got to see it for our own selves. They get to see what God has sent for them. And then they desire to tell everyone about it. Look at this verse 17. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad. All right, so everything was made known to them first. Then when they heard about it and they went and saw it, they said, hey, this is news that we can't keep to ourselves. Kind of like the illustration that I'm sure many, many times you've heard before, because I know in my years of listening to preaching, I've certainly heard this illustration before. If you came up with a cure for cancer, you wouldn't keep it to yourself, would you? You'd say, man, I heard it, I figured out what it is, and I'm going to share with individuals that are struggling with that health challenge of cancer. I'm going to help them to realize there is a way for you to escape that. There is help for that. Well, the same with these shepherds. They heard it. And they wanted everybody to know the good news. So they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Now would you look at verse 18. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Now we can see here, and we're going to go back to verse number 18 in a minute. We can see the excitement that these shepherds had of telling others. Man, they had first experienced it for themselves, and now the excitement of saying, I want to go tell somebody else. Maybe tonight it would be good for us every now and then to go back to how excited we were, the excitement in our hearts when we first got saved. And we wanted to share that news with somebody else. Think about this. The news had just been made known to them, and now they wanted to make it known to somebody else. The excitement of telling somebody else what had happened in their hearts. Notice this with me, if you would, they desired that everyone would know. They desired that everyone would know. Do you desire for individuals to know the message of the gospel? I hope we do. And they were not ashamed to speak out about it. They were not ashamed to speak out about it. Oh, let's not be ashamed. I like what Paul says in Romans chapter 1. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. He says, I'm not ashamed. Matter of fact, in that same chapter, Paul says, I'm ready. I'm ready to preach. Man, I'm ready to preach the good news because I'm not ashamed of it. They wanted everybody to know. They weren't ashamed to speak out. And think about this, if you would. Look at verse number 18 again with me. I told you we'd come back to this. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Man, they knew how amazing, they knew what God had done in the hearts of the shepherds, and now they're wondering at those things that had now been told to them by those shepherds. Would you think about this? I know we understand the passage. I know we've heard it before. But the importance of planting seeds in individuals' hearts. And then God, as He gives the increase, right? It's just, our responsibility is just to give out the message. It's not our responsibility that every single person would receive it and invite the Lord to be their Savior. But it's our duty to give out the seed of the gospel. And then as that seed is then watered, God gives the increase. And that's exactly what's happening here in verse number 18. They hear the word of God and then they're wondering at those things. Have you ever thought when you've shared the word of God with somebody, that when you walk away from that person, if you know, you might say, I'm walking away from them, they didn't receive the Lord as their Savior, but imagine what's happening in their hearts or maybe in their minds. Somebody cared enough to share the gospel with me, and we've been able to plant a seed, right? And then we water that seed, and then God is able to give the increase. All the shepherds knew how amazing it was what God had done, and they wanted others to know about it. The last thought I want to give you tonight, and we'll wrap up this evening. We said there's a picture of salvation. There's a picture of surrender. There's a picture of soul winning. Oh, but I love this one. There's also a picture of steadfastness. There's a picture of being steadfast. Look with me, if you would, at verse number 20. I love this, verse number 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Man, the excitement didn't just stop when they walked away from the manger. This continued on, didn't it? And they're praising and they're glorifying God. It gives us the wonderful picture of being steadfast, to continue in the things that you've seen, continue in the things that you've heard, to be steadfast, to be faithful, and to always be praising God and glorifying God for the things that He has done in your life and that He is continuing to do in your life. Let's be steadfast. Let's be faithful. I want us to notice as we close tonight, look at verse 20 again with me. It says, and the shepherds returned glorifying. I want you to notice they reflected the glory of God to others. They reflected the glory of God. The fact that they had been able to see Jesus. It recognized the fact that He was the Savior of the world, and now they're reflecting the glory of God. May we reflect the glory of God in our lives. May others be able to see that God has changed us. There's things that are new in our lives because we are a child of God. May we always be faithful and steadfast to give glory and honor and praise to God. But then I told you this, we'd go back to verse 10. We go back to verse number 10, and we're going to close with that this evening. Look with me, if you would, at verse number 10. The Bible says, and the angel said unto them, to the shepherds, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Now, here's what I truly believe happened with the shepherds. I believe their joy did not cease. Their joy did not cease. A wonderful picture, by the way, of being steadfast. Let's not let our joy cease. Let's always be glorifying God and praising Him, and let's not let our joy cease. You know, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, it says that we are to run our race, right? We're to look to Jesus, the Bible says. I'll read those verses at the start of Hebrews chapter number 12. It says these words, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." The joy of knowing that his death would be enough to pay the price for the sins of the entire world. Hey, do you have joy in your heart? Don't let your joy cease, right? Let's be steadfast in that. Let's be steadfast in glorifying and praising God as the shepherds did. And let's make sure, remember, the message of the Savior coming brings great joy, doesn't it? Let's not let our joy cease. What does the Bible say in the book of Nehemiah? It says, "The joy of the Lord is my strength," right? God's joy is my strength. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Not just, by the way, not just at the Christmas season. That's the key word, being steadfast, being faithful, so that it doesn't cease, it doesn't stop, right? So we're constantly praising God and glorifying Him as the shepherds did, and constantly having hearts that are filled with joy because of what Jesus has done for us. The shepherds with a picture of salvation coming with haste, and they found Jesus. And then the picture of surrender, that moment where they left their sheep to go to where Jesus was. And then the picture of soul winning. They had heard the message. They had seen Jesus. And they wanted everybody to know about it. The picture of being steadfast, glorifying and praising God, and joy that did not cease. Let's not let our joy cease. Let's have, as the Bible says, joy unspeakable and full of glory. Father, thank you for our Christmas evening message, Lord, that you have given to us here tonight from Luke chapter 9.